Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, as you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Acts, where we've been following the preaching of Jesus from the Old Testament, and we'll be learning more on this subject as we continue in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, as we find Philip responding to the Ethiopian. So let's follow along for the conclusion of our study entitled Divine Appointments, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
You know, I would love to be able to open up at any scripture and preach Jesus to people. And the more you saturate yourself in the scripture, the more likely you'll be able to do that. There was a great preacher in Britain back in the 1800s. His name was Charles Spurgeon. Some of you are familiar with him. Some of you have heard him quoted several times. Some of you have never heard of him until just this moment. But he was, they called the Prince of Preachers. And he was a phenomenal preacher. He preached 66 volumes of sermons. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of sermons. He preached every verse of the Bible. But he didn't do it in consecutive sense like we do it here. He didn't start in Genesis and, you know, go to Revelation. He would just take verses of the Bible and he would preach sermons around those verses. I'll tell you, this guy preached Jesus from every verse imaginable. You know, sometimes I'll look at the text and I'll read the verse that he's going to preach from. And, you know, the verse has absolutely nothing to do with anything relating to Jesus, but it's amazing how he can preach Jesus from it. It absolutely fascinates me. But it also provokes me as I look at that, I think, Lord, because you said the volume of the book is written of you. You said that the whole thing was about you to be able to preach Jesus from any portion of scripture. What a glorious goal to have. Well, Philip had a fairly easy task before him because he was right there at the text that spoke so clearly of Jesus. And so he preached unto him Jesus. But let me say this also. This is something that we all need to be reminded of, especially those who teach and preach, that we are to preach Jesus. We're not to preach other things. It's so easy to get caught up preaching other things. And lots of people preaching today are preaching lots of other things. There are those that emphasize, you know, sort of the how-to kind of theme. And every message is on how to do some practical thing a little bit better or something like that, you know. And that's not really what we're called to do. Sometimes people get real caught up in issues. Their preaching is real issue-oriented. They're always talking about, you know, the issues of the day. And that's something that we need to guard ourselves against. And even on a personal level, when we are sharing the gospel with people, we need to be careful not to get caught up with issues. And sometimes people really get caught up in politics. And they end up preaching politics or a political position. And sometimes even on a personal level, we can get wrapped up in the political thing. Or we can get, you know, real involved in preaching traditional values, you know, versus the no value system really that's prevalent today. And all of those things, although they have interest and although, you know, they play a role in life and society and everything else, for us as Christians, that's not really the issue. And it's important that we preach Christ. You see, I can get all caught up in issues with people, and I could actually even change somebody's mind on a particular issue, perhaps. Let's just take, for example, the issue of abortion. It's a serious issue, and it is an issue that needs to be addressed. But I could conceivably convert a person from a pro-choice to a pro-life position, but still leave them in their trespasses and sins. And although they've changed their view on an issue, they're still lost. They're still perishing. You see, here's the great thing. When you preach Jesus to people, when people accept Jesus, he changes their heart, and then their mind changes about all the issues too. And so we have to really make sure we're preaching Jesus. We're communicating him. And in our circumstances here today, you know, in our nation, it's so easy to get caught up debating and arguing and, you know, contending over all of the issues. And we've got to be careful not to lose focus of the main thing, that we preach Jesus to people. You know, you meet somebody who's caught up in the whole gay lifestyle or something, and you want to just tell them how wrong that is and why that's wrong and all of that. And it is wrong. But preach Jesus to them. Because when they accept Jesus, he'll tell them it's wrong. They'll receive it from him a lot better than they do from us. And he'll transform them from the inside out as well. So Philip did the wise thing. He preached Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so, man, this guy, the Lord just touched his heart. And as they come to a watery area, he's ready to get baptized. But notice what Philip asked him. He said, in effect, "Do you believe with all your heart?" Maybe Philip asked him that question because of his experience with Simon back in Samaria. You remember Simon saw the miracles that Philip was doing, and he said, "I want to be part of this." And he was baptized like everybody else. But when Peter and John came down, it was made evident that Simon hadn't really believed with his heart. Remember, Peter said, "Your heart is not right in the sight of God." And maybe Philip now is reflecting on that previous experience with Simon, and he's just saying, "Look, you know, I want to make sure." And that's a lesson that all of us, I think, learn. You know, sometimes in our excitement about maybe leading someone to the Lord, or our anxiousness to say a prayer with them, we don't really give them all the information that they need to have to make that true decision. I had a friend years ago who kind of prided himself in how many people he led to the Lord. And he would occasionally just, you know, kind of say, "You know, I led 4 people to the Lord today." And, you know, one time after, you know, I'd known him for quite a while, he shot out a number, you know, "I've led 40 people to the Lord in the last couple of years," or whatever. And, you know, I looked at him, I said, "Where are those people? I've never met any of them." You know, and he was a person in the fellowship, and so I thought, you know, if you're leading all these people to the Lord right here in the community, why aren't any of them coming to the church? And the whole thing was, he was just so anxious to get them to say the prayer that, you know, he'd pretty much tell them anything they wanted to hear just to get that prayer out of them. Because in his immature thinking, that was what you were supposed to do. But that's not it. We want to make sure that people know, that people really believe with all their heart, that people understand what they're getting into, because that's when real conversion takes place. And Philip, I think, learned that lesson. So he says to him, "If you believe with all your heart." And that's what it's all about. It's not just I'll take Jesus right now because I'm in a jam and, well, you said he helps people, so I need help. Here, give me Jesus. How many thousands of people are there wandering around Orange County who have done that? They've taken Jesus. They've accepted the Lord. But yet, they're no more a Christian than the devil. Perhaps someone was too hasty. Perhaps someone was too anxious to, you know, get that notch on their belt or whatever. And so we've got to be careful when we're sharing with people. Many times I'll be sharing with someone and, you know, I'll feel impressed by the Lord to ask them if they want to receive Christ. But I'll also say to them, you know what? If you're not sure, then don't do this. I'm not trying to force you into anything, I'll say. Because if I can force you into it, you can be forced out of it. If I can talk you into it, you'll be talked out of it. It's a decision you've got to make. But if you want to make the decision, I want to help you do that. But there's a real danger in, you know, sort of pressing the issue. And then, you know, okay, they finally just in exasperation, they just give up and say, okay, I'll pray it. And then they pray the prayer. And then you're like, oh, you're saved. That's great. Okay, I'll pick you up for church tomorrow night. What? Pick me up for church? What for? And then, you know, you're calling them, hey, you're going to come to fellowship? And then, well, you know, I can't tonight. And, oh, you know, and you're thinking, oh, they're saved, but they just, no, they're not saved. That's the problem, you see. Because when you're saved, the Spirit of God comes into your life. All of a sudden, the things of God are of interest to you. Nobody has to drag you to church by putting a bit in your mouth. You want to go. You want to be part. You want to connect. And that happens when a person believes with their whole heart. And Philip understood that now. So he said to him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. You know, think about this man for a moment. He was an important man. He was a man of position. He was a man of great power in a great kingdom of the day. But obviously, all of those things had not been able to satisfy the deepest longings of his heart. And you know, he's really typical of man in general. You know, if a person's estate in life is what you might call, you know, sort of a low estate. He's not wealthy. He's not known. He's not necessarily successful or whatever the case. Well, he lives with this thought that if I could just rise above this place that I'm at and live upon this level of society, then I would be fulfilled. Then I would be happy. Then my problems would be gone. Then this frustration and this depression and all this would clear up. You know what? The people living up here are thinking, you know, if I could just get back down to here. You know, maybe get back to the simple things of life. Everything's become so complicated. I'm so frustrated and confused and depressed. I just want to get back to that. If I could just get back there, all this stuff would clear up. Which obviously means that neither place brings what people are looking for. You see, because what people really need is a relationship with God. And none of those other things can take the place of that. None of those things can satisfy. The human soul was created for communion with God. And until a person comes into a relationship with God, there's nothing in the world that can satisfy. Remember that. Remember that with the people that you perhaps know who are in those higher positions in life, perhaps. Remember that they have the same struggles, the same frustrations, the same emptiness. You know, sometimes we're a bit intimidated by people of stature. And we think, oh, well, I probably wouldn't talk to that person. What could I say to them? Or how could I look who they are or what they've attained? And who am I? But just know this, that everybody's really ultimately on the same level. Because if you don't have the Lord, you're lost and you're empty. And that's reality, and nothing in the world will fill it. And here's this guy with all of that, but yet there wasn't that fulfillment in his life. Even religion had still left him with a longing, but now he meets Christ. And although we don't know anything else about him, church tradition says he went back to Ethiopia and began to evangelize, and perhaps he did, because there was a community of believers that developed in that part of the world. And maybe it was through his influence, we don't know. But we do know this, that the Lord met his need that day. And so when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So he went to Jerusalem in search probably of peace, in search of fulfillment, perhaps in search of answers and really, you know, wanting to connect with the God of Israel. But he left Jerusalem disappointed. But now he meets Philip, this one guy just on the desert road. And his life is transformed and he goes his way rejoicing. You know, it's not found in, you know, joining a religion or, you know, going to the biggest, best church around. Man, it's just in a simple relationship with the Lord. And oftentimes the Lord just uses the most simple, humble people to connect other people with Christ, like he did Philip here. And so Philip was caught away, and it seems that he was miraculously caught away. I think that he was. He just suddenly vanished, and the Lord landed him at Azotus. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So the Lord just miraculously took him, and that, of course, would have been, you know, a bit of an added bit of confirmation to the Ethiopian. He's just baptized. There they are in the water, and he's rejoicing, and Philip is just disappears all of a sudden. And he finds the Lord transports him somehow miraculously to Azotus, which would be along the coast in the south, and then he just continues to make his way up to Caesarea, sharing the gospel as he goes. And so that brings us to the end of Luke's discussion about these two men, Stephen, who was the first martyr, and now Philip. Philip, interestingly, turns up one other time in the book of Acts. Several years later, the Apostle Paul will visit the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven, who has four virgin daughters who prophesy. That's this guy right here. And he's specifically declared to be Philip the evangelist. He was an evangelist. And as we looked at his story here, notice there were two types of evangelism that he was involved in. He was involved in what you might call mass evangelism, as he was reaching out to that whole city of Samaria. And then he's involved in personal evangelism with this one guy. And you know, God gifts us in different ways. Some people are really gifted in the area of mass evangelism. And generally, I would say too, when a person's gifted in mass evangelism, they're probably gifted as well in personal evangelism. But it doesn't necessarily work the other way. There is a place for mass evangelism. There is a need for mass evangelism. Thank God for the opportunities that we have for mass evangelism, you know, where large groups of people gather together to hear the gospel. The Harvest Crusades, a prime example, of course. And those kind of events that are geared toward reaching out to non-believers in large groups and giving a message that they can respond to and receive Christ. That's very important aspect of church life. But just as important is personal evangelism. Now, when it comes to personal evangelism, the person who is an evangelist in the personal sense might not be able to, you know, go over into the mass evangelism realm. In other words, they might not be a great speaker. They might not be able to put, you know, thoughts together in such a way and communicate them in such a way that people can really connect with that. But on a personal level, they connect with people, and they, through their love and their patience and their just, you know, continuing to share Christ as the opportunities come, they lead people to the Lord. Personal evangelism is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. And really, mass evangelism can't even work without personal evangelism, because people need to get to where the evangelist is, and that usually happens by individuals saying, hey, I've been telling you about Jesus. Come and listen to this guy, and he'll make it a little more clear to you. But Philip was involved in both. Some people are involved in both. But I think most of the time it's sort of one or the other. Not everyone is gifted as an evangelist. But I do believe that every one of us are to seek to be used by the Lord in that way. And I also believe that if we ask the Lord for those divine appointments, he's going to give them to us. Divine appointments. Ask the Lord to give you divine appointments. Just begin to ask him in prayer. And then watch and see what happens. It might be on the job. It might be when you're just out and about doing whatever you're doing. It might be when you go in to get your Starbucks coffee. It might be with your neighbors. You never know. You never know. I have had so many great divine appointments. Taxi cabs. You know, when you're traveling sometimes, if you're flying around, things like that, you know, the Lord plops you down next to somebody. And sure enough, as you sit there and you begin to talk and get to know each other, the doors begin to open. And pretty soon you realize, man, this is a divine appointment. God set this whole thing up. And I believe that if we'll ask for those in sincerity, God will bring them along. Because I believe that even though we might not be gifted evangelists like Philip was, like Paul said to Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist. We're all potentially evangelist, as we just say, Lord, just use me. Just use me in some way. But you know, I think it really starts with just our lives themselves. Just that we're loving, that we're patient with people, that we're different, that people see that about us. And that sometimes leads to inquiry. They want to know, well, why are you like this? And how come you don't do that? And then you say, well, I'm a Christian. And then they say, well, what's that? And then there you go. And you share with them. You know, sometimes when we think about evangelism, it becomes like this big, heavy thing. It's like, oh, no, I got to evangelize. I'm so scared. I hate to talk to people. You know, and then you feel this big pressure. Don't feel that pressure, because that's not the Lord putting that on you. The Lord sets things up and it just flows. It just runs so beautifully, so smoothly. It's just this great thing. And it just happens as we walk in the Spirit. And as we ask him, let's pray for each other that God will open up doors and that he will send divine appointments our way. Let's pray. Father, how exciting to read this story and to think of this man in this chariot reading Isaiah and you sending Philip right alongside him, Lord, knowing when he was going to be there and what was going to be on his heart. And Lord, we believe that there are many people all around us like this Ethiopian eunuch, Lord, who are wondering about things. And Lord, we ask that you would set up divine appointments for us. Pave the way. And Lord, you know some are bold and courageous when it comes to sharing their faith. Some are maybe not as bold, and some are just downright scared to do it. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, pave the way before us and bring about those opportunities, Lord, that we might be like Philip in our community. Reaching out to people that we work with or go to school with or people that we live near, or people that we see frequently as we go to shops and different things that we do. And like Philip, Lord, may we speak to others about you. Prepare their hearts and connect us with those that you've prepared. Give us, we pray, in Jesus' name, Lord, divine appointments for your glory. Amen.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study here in the book of Acts as Pastor Brian continues his study on the witness of Philip. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Divine Appointments. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3117. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.